We proclaim to you the word of God as we have read it together, especially in the light of 1 Corinthians 2, verse 4 and 5. So we'll read that again, 2, verse 4 and 5. And my speech and my message were not in plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. And then also 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20 and 21, the last two verses of 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Let us afterwards respond with the singing of hymn 49. Beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we want to pay special attention to the home missionary mandate of this Church of Christ to evangelize the word, to spread the name, the message of Christ in our immediate neighborhood, at our place of work, and in our life situation of every day. That is, to call to Christ and to his church all who are strangers to or have become estranged to the word of God. And beloved, it is very important to take the proper approach to our evangelical outreach, of using methods which are sure to please our God and Savior. We should know that we better put one thing up front, and it is that all evangelical action begins with the Lord God, with God himself. We ought to realize that it is simply impossible for a man to convince anyone of what's most important in life. And we ought to admit that what is impossible with us is very much possible with our God and Savior. Indeed, making converts is not something we can boast about, but it's a matter of the Lord God. It's one of his good pleasure, which gave us this important principle. All evangelical activity lies anchored in God's sovereign and eternal good pleasure, what we specifically also confess with the canons of Dort. The truth of this principle gives us then also the reason for going out there to evangelize the word of God, to convey the message of Christ, our Savior, the Savior of the world, yeah, wherever and whenever in our life situation of every day. Indeed, beloved, since we know that it has been God's sovereign decision to save a great number of people to salvation, we will remain motivated. We'll be encouraged to spread the name of Christ round about us. Indeed, we may see ourselves appointed as his ambassadors, as his representatives, to speak on his behalf, to speak up for what he stands for, of what he came for in time and history, to reconcile a sinful mankind to a holy and righteous God. And that's how we come to our mandate, that we, as living members of Christ and his church, are called to speak of our Savior's great work of atonement, of Christ and him crucified. And in the process, we are called to do so in the right manner, to speak rightly about God. That is, not just of his 100% love, but also about his 100% justice. Not only about his mercy and grace, but also about his wrath and judgment. And to speak rightly about Christ, not only as the Savior of mankind, but also as the King of kings and the Lord of Lords, and as the one who will return to judge the living and the dead. Now, beloved, when we then go out to speak of that wondrous salvation of God, speak about it among all those whom we meet and can meet, we better make sure to take a scriptural approach. The approach is also given in our text. We are not to speak man's word, but use God's word, that power word of the Holy Spirit. Speak of what he has revealed. The history of salvation as recorded in Scripture, that is the creation of man, that first. The fall and redemption of man. The redemption as summarized in Jesus Christ and him crucified. And then on the basis of that power word, on the basis of that once for all atoning sacrifice of Christ, urge those who listen to come to a decision with, be reconciled to God. And so we proceed as members of Christ and of his church with our evangelical message to stress that conversion is a matter of faith, of grace, of Christ, and of a service to the only true God. Beloved of the Lord, when we preach, when we pass on the word of God, the message of Christ, the message of salvation to those around us, we will not do so with special tricks out of the evangelical trade presently in vogue. We will not peddle the message of Christ like a market vendor, like a car salesman, with the wisdom and rhetoric that happen to be in fashion. Indeed, we will bring the message of Christ with compassion, with love for our fellow man, but not with an attitude of anxiety. As if the response to the message, as if the result of passing it on, would depend on us. What we have to be sure about is whether what we say, what we speak, is taken from the Word of God, is based on the Word of God, as it has been recorded for man and his salvation from Genesis 1 through Revelation 22, no less and no more. Our history has to be the history of mankind, the history of salvation as God was pleased to reveal it in and with those 66 books of the Bible. Thus, the most logical way to begin is with creation, to speak of God and his almighty power, who by his power word has brought about this earth on which we live, yeah, has brought about that vast, immeasurable universe, that awesome creation in which we men, male and female, receive such a unique, such an important place, as we also will hear this afternoon, is what we confess on Lord's Day 3. Yeah, just read that first chapter, Genesis 1. Just awesome. All those thousands of different creatures, species we know today, all created at that time. Created in that one unique kind, including us, mankind. Again, just awesome. And then we follow up with an explanation of man's great fall into sin, which gives the reason, the exact reason, for all those black pages in our human history ever since paradise, paradise lost. The paradise which we lost because of our disobedience. The reason for that terrible sin and misery with which we know our whole human history is filled. Untold sin and misery. Sin and misery with which we are all too familiar ourselves, as expressed by that roundabout envy, hatred, anger, violence, and desire of revenge. And then we follow this up by telling our listeners in quite some detail about God's great mercy and grace, about that covenant, that special alliance he made with us sinful mankind, a covenant with gracious promises and divine demands, which would either bring rich blessings our well-deserved curses on us, which in the end would either bring us through faith an eternal salvation, or because of unbelief, eternal condemnation. And of course, in the process, beloved, we end up with and put the greatest emphasis on the historical fact that this covenant, covenant of grace, has been made possible only because of Jesus Christ. That is the one born in Bethlehem, the one of whom we should know and acknowledge as the only begotten Son of God, God of God, very God of very God, and the one that we should know and acknowledge as the Son of Man, as the new mankind, as man's representative, as man's only substitute before a holy and heavenly God, as man's only Savior, as man's only mediator, as man's only redeemer, to redeem him from that sin and misery, and to reconcile his man to a holy and righteous God. And, beloved, if those who listen to us keep listening to us, then we will continue to fill in the gaps with respect to those three main elements, those three doctrines concerning the history of salvation. Those which speak of the creation, the fall, and the one that speaks of that great redemption of man, of that salvation rooted in Jesus Christ and him crucified. Only to end up every time with, and that with greater and greater emphasis, be reconciled to God. Again, after God in this way, after having us as his appointed co-workers pass on to you, dear listener, dear friend, we say then to them, dear friend, his word, that all-important message of salvation in Christ Jesus, that is the one born in Bethlehem, the one who died for our sins on the cross, and who on the third day, on the Lord's day, was raised for our justification, was raised unto the complete forgiveness of sins. Yeah, you, my dear neighbor, my dear friend, colleague, fellow student, are now called to make a decision. And therefore we implore to you to listen to this appeal which we now make on God's, on Christ's behalf to you. Be reconciled to God, your Creator. And throughout our talk and walk, throughout our evangelizing the Word of God, the message of Christ in our life situation of every day, we keep on emphasizing that it is a matter of faith. That is a faith that expresses total trust in the Lord God. Total trust in Christ and his complete salvation. And as it has been recorded for us, for mankind in his holy word, in and with the Bible. Now, beloved, at no time we will be drawn or let ourselves be drawn into endless explanations of the age of the universe, of the possible lengths of the days of creation, of a possible accommodation between what is recorded in the Bible, the book of God, and what man has been pleased to conclude and record in his book, his so-called book of science. We will simply keep on stressing what we believe, the whole content of Scripture, while emphasizing throughout that it is indeed a matter of faith. Faith, which Hebrews 11 defines as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen, presently unseen, but then things which will be clearly revealed as promised in that living and abiding Word of God. And therefore, beloved, we'll keep on saying to those who live in darkness, we urge you to believe, to trust in God, and not to put your trust in those philosophies and those theories that man is willing to produce in opposition to God. Not even when they speak of a theory of evolution in which the name God of Theos is still found as in theistic evolution. Again, without compromise, we will keep on stressing that it is a matter of faith, of believing that power word of the Holy Spirit, period. Indeed, we can. We may give you the assurance that if you keep listening to the word of God, we say unto them, if you keep on reading your Bible, if you keep heeding that, be reconciled to God, then the Spirit of God will build faith in your heart. And he will convict you of your sin and misery, make you acknowledge it. And at the same time, he will convince you that there is a complete salvation from that sin and misery in and through Jesus Christ. And please do understand that this salvation is in and through Christ. And that it will prove then most beneficial to you. Yeah, here and now. It will give you that much needed peace of mind. It will grant you those all important new beginnings each time after confessing your sins and shortcomings. And it will you and will give throughout your life a purpose. It will make you a purposeful life by also spreading that name of Christ, that name of victorious, to others to do so in all your words and works by living a purposeful life in the service of the only true God in church, state, and society. For life, because in the end, it will give you unequaled bliss in the presence of your Savior hereafter, in the presence of the Lord Jesus in heaven after your death, and forever and ever on that promised new, renewed earth with the one triune God, and with all the saints, with all the believers, you will meet them all after your resurrection. Beloved, that's the biblical line. We should not ever think that we in and out of ourselves could make such an appeal, that we could bring that all-important conversion, that all-important turnaround, that we can do so with our wise and persuasive words coming from us, but only with the demonstration of the Spirit's power which comes in and with his inspired word, the word of which he himself is the final author, and with which he will work faith, thus faith in Christ through grace and to the glory and service of the one and only true God. Now, beloved congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, it is time to come to a conclusion on this special proclamation of and this special excursion on our task of evangelists, of word bearers, of gospel bringers. It is time to summarize how we as living members of this Catholic Church of Christ are to spread the word of God, the history of salvation, the message of Christ, the gospel, the good news of a complete redemption from sin and misery. In our neighborhood of the church building perhaps, in our own neighborhood, via the specially designed evangels or other evangelism material, and especially how we, in what frame of mind, with what attitude, are to spread the good news of this unique salvation in word and deed, in the life situation in which God has placed us, in our day-to-day position in church, state, and society. Again, we want to keep in mind that all evangelical action is anchored in God's sovereign good pleasure and will to save a multitude of people, multitude of sinners, a multitude that no one can count. That is the great work of atonement of Christ Jesus. Because of that full and complete payment for our sins by him on that historical cross, that has motivated God to do so. That is the result, and also the Holy Spirit brings about conversion. The preaching and spreading of the word of God, the message of salvation in Jesus Christ, and that he does so via his appointed co-workers, officially via the preaching of the word on the Lord's Day, in this assembly of the Catholic Church of Christ, and via every member, every living member of the church, wherever and whenever we can or may. In view of our church given position in this world have to always be a matter from the pulpit to the people, and from the people to the pulpit, until our Lord and Head will call a halt to it by his glorious return. Again, it will be always a matter from the people to the pulpit to come to church, to hear the word of God officially proclaimed, and then also from the pulpit, first of all, from the pulpit to the people, and then the people to the pulpit, that we bring them to church as soon as possible. It is then the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of Christ only, who is able to reach the mind and heart of man. We are not able to reach it. We are unable to let the message of salvation reach the inner recesses of his heart to bring about that necessary conversion. But God, the Holy Spirit, can. And therefore we better discern between form and content, and not with all kinds of evangelical approaches, with all kinds of forms, of which the one over the other is said to be more effective, more eloquent, more persuasive, and thus more superior than the next, that we with such talk become an obstruction in passing on that all important content with which God the Holy Spirit will go to work. That's how he will. And now he's able to use here and there even the most simple scripture word from a simple down-to-earth church member. Now from both old and young, from both office bearers and members. Committed as he is to work with the word, he will make use of every scripture word, every word, which we can and may put edgewise among all that so-called wisdom of this world. Of that, he will make a power word, a word which will prove to me more than sufficient for him to continue and to complete that great church gathering work of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, beloved, what we are to be concerned about at all times is that evangelism centers around Jesus Christ. It is his name that's all important. His name must be preached, everything it stands for, everything he stands for, everything revealed of him from Genesis 1, from the first Adam to Revelation 22, to the return of him, the second Adam, everything that speaks of the old mankind and of the new mankind which lives by faith in him. And at all times, we are to be well aware and show this in no uncertain way in all our talk and walk, that faith, that conversion, that repentance is not first of all a matter of our intellect, but it is a matter of our heart. With our canons of Dort, and how important this confession already has proven to be for our task to evangelize the word of God, the message of Christ, we confess that the Lord our God carries out his good pleasure in the elect, that he works in them a true conversion, and that he does so in the following manner. He takes care that the gospel is preached to them, and with the gospel powerfully enlightens their minds by the Holy Spirit, so that they might rightly understand and discern the things of the Spirit of God, of what belongs to God, of what belongs to the new nature. And that's how the Spirit of God penetrates the innermost recesses of man. It is he who opens the closed and softens the heart, the hard heart. It is he who instills new qualities into the will of man. It is he who moves and strengthens it by the official preaching in church, and then moves and continues to strengthen it by a personal and collective study of his word, so that he is able to use us in the preaching and the spreading of his word, the gospel of Christ, so that like a good tree, it will be able to produce the fruit of good works, and not good works in order to be saved, but good works because of having been saved, of having been brought to faith out of grace, a sovereign divine grace, and because of having been saved in and through of Christ, so that we will know and acknowledge that it is and will remain for all eternity everything in Christ. Well, beloved of the Lord, it's clear, is it not? We have to be, first of all, a listening congregation. Learn to listen to the sermons. Learn to follow them up. We listen here, quietly, but attentively. But when we leave here, we will speak up. We will discuss them together. Indeed, it is good when we are quiet, when the Lord God addresses us, has us addressed via the official proclamation of his word, with that manifold message of Christ and him crucified. But then, about what we hear, we will speak with one another when we leave here, on the parking lot, at our homes, at our visits with one another. Yes, beloved, that speaking, that discussing, that follow-up of all those church services will begin at home in the midst of our families. But we will also continue with it when we meet one another, when we visit one another, when we receive our office bearers at our annual home and family visits, and especially when we come together in our Bible study societies. And beloved, that all in order to become more and more aware of that gracious sovereign election in Christ, as manifested in the church of which he, in his sovereign grace, has made us members, both old and young. All in order to learn to know the immeasurable love of God in Christ as revealed in his infallible word. All in order to learn to analyze, to summarize it with the help of our confessions, and then to put it in words, what we have heard, what we have learned, what we have studied, and then go forth to get out and to use our mind, our heart, our knowledge in order to draw all those whom we meet and can meet in that society out there in which God has placed us. Amidst those men, many God-given societal relationships in which we are called to carry out our work, so that all our congregational activity here, so that our total evangelical endeavor out there will prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the house of God is an open house, a house to which we then take them along as soon as possible. All those whose hearts the Lord our God, the Spirit of God, has been pleased to open up on hearing us speak of his pleasure and will in Christ Jesus, on his love in him, the Savior of the world, so that they, like us, will keep on listening to that word of God and together with us express that undying gratitude that he has chosen us in him, the Savior, already before the creation of the world. That he has predestined us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ, and all in order, so that we in all our talk and walk would, as God's ambassadors, as his representatives, would, as the illuminated instruments in the hand of the Holy Spirit, prove to be at all times and everywhere the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Amen.